This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
The other night, I saw an amazing play. Vital, moving, and absolutely necessary, but not an easy night out. I have to admit, by the end of it, I was full of emotion and tears were streaming down my face. The cast is made up entirely of teenage girls, acting students of the director and playwright Katie Capiello. But this isn't kids' theater, not at all. The topic of the play and some of the language are intended for, as they say, mature audiences. If you have some younger kids listening with you right now, maybe this isn't for them. The play is about a teenage girl who is raped by friends. It's fiction, technically speaking, but it's inspired by experiences that are very much a part of daily life for the girls in the cast. It's called Slut, the play. The main character spends the bulk of the show alone on one side of the stage, giving her testimony about what happened to her. While on the other side of the stage, we hear everything that's being said about her as the news gets around.
Okay, Joanna Grace Del Marco. I'm 16 years old, and I live at 545 East 14th Street, apartment 3F. What? Sure. I am agreeing to give this statement without my parents present. Is that what you mean? My mom's still here, right? No. Oh, my God. No, I don't need them to come in or anything. I actually really don't want to talk about all this stuff in front of her again right now. Or my dad. I'm sorry. I actually don't feel that well. Could I have some water or something? Would that be okay? If it's too much trouble, that's totally fine. Okay, yeah, thank you. I'm sure I'll feel better after I have some of this. I'm just starting to feel sort of shaky. So should I just start from the beginning?
That's Winifred Bongean Alpert in the role of Joey. Katie Capiello is the playwright and director.
So the character is Joey Del Marco. She's 16. She is fierce and confident and kind of a badass and finding herself, right? She's at that great stage in your teenage years where things are really confusing but also really exciting. And she is coming into her womanhood. And that's where you meet her. And you know, we follow Joey through the course of the night. And she is pre-gaming with three of her closest guy friends from her life. And they cram into the back of a taxi to go uptown to a friend's house party. And that's when those three friends proceed to rape her.
Yeah. And the bulk of the play is the aftermath in which you have on one half of the stage, you have Joey in isolation.
Yeah.
Testifying, a kind of extended testimony and soliloquy. And then on the other side of the stage, you have the village.
I've known Joey since kindergarten. She loses control sometimes. She's done weird before. And honestly, I totally think that night she got home with Jane and her parents were there and she just started lying.
Yeah.
And she really screwed over the whole school.
I'll say I'm admittedly promiscuous. I hate that word. Promiscuous. So that, implies what, then? That I couldn't have been raped, then? That cancels out the possibility of rape to people? That's so crazy.
I wanted you to get both at the same time. I wanted you to get her rationale, where she was coming from, her experience from her voice at the same time that you were hearing the way we as a culture dissect everything these girls do. Because here's a really interesting thing when you think about rape cases. When you think about the ones that we've heard about, the case of St. Paul's, the case of Steubenville, Daisy Coleman, you so rarely hear from the girl. We so rarely get to hear that girl's voice and her side of the story for a lot of reasons, for her own safety, legally. And we wanted that girl's voice to be front and center. And at the same time, we wanted you to realize who you are in this story. Who are you? Who are you in the community? What role do you play when this girl comes forward and this story comes out?
Right.
How are you tearing her down? Right? Like, how are you poking holes in her story? Because you probably are.
Katie, what is the origin story of the play itself? How much does real life inform what you've written about here?
Everything. You know, I was a teenage girl, and those memories are so vivid for me. And I would say most women that I talk to would say the same, that what you experience when you are young and female follows you the rest of your life. It stays with you. And when I work with my girls, with my students, and they tell me the things that they've experienced, it is impossible for me not to write about that, right? I want to find some way of capturing it and putting it up on its feet that maybe will lead to healthier dynamics, or maybe at least to a conversation, or maybe just give somebody a better idea of what it is like to be a teenage girl. Because it is not easy, and it's not easy to be a teenage boy either.
But, well, in fact, you do a play with teenage boys.
Yes.
This came later than Slut.
It did.
What did you discover about teenage boys that you might not have known through the research for it or the writing of it?
Oh, just how really loving they are and really confused. And I was not expecting that. I did not think they were going to be as open as they were, as honest about the degree of confusion that they experience day in and day out in their relationships with each other, with their parents, with girls.
But confusion that causes them to be aggressive and worse.
Yeah, I would tie that confusion into pressure, too.
Right.
You know, standards of masculinity are pretty intense.
How do you help from having at least some hostility toward the purveyors of this sexual violence? Because it does seem to work in one direction.
I guess at the end of the day, I care about them. I know that maybe that sounds trite, but that's, I guess, how I went into this process of working with these guys, that I care about them. And the reality of the situation is this. As much as I don't want my female students to get raped, I don't want my male students to rape them.
Yeah.
The
young women, the girls that you're working with here, they're all actresses and students that are exactly the age of their characters.
Yeah.
They're 14, they're 15, they're 16, they're 17. You're asking them to go into incredibly difficult emotional territory on stage in front of, you know, people in their 30s, 40s, 50s and up. What's the effect of that? How does that dynamic work? What have you seen happen?
You know, it's interesting. I feel like people ask that all the time in a very accusatory way of just, how could you do this? How could you let teenage girls get up on the stage and talk about sex and sexuality and sexual assault? And my answer is always, but this is what they're living every day. So who better to talk about it? Who better to speak this truth than those who face it day in and day out? And the reality of the situation is they can handle it and they want to handle it. And the girls will tell you this show has empowered them. It allows them to be at a house party on a Friday night and intervene when maybe before they started working on this play, they didn't know that they could or didn't know how they should.
We also have here a remarkable young actress who goes to St. Anne's High School in Brooklyn named Mary Miller, who was in the play. And she plays a character who it seems is almost the wise woman. She comes in late in the play by way almost of giving advice to the slightly younger girls in the play. She relays an experience that, Mary, that maybe you can tell us about.
Yeah, so my character, she hears online, she sees online basically all the things that have been going on in Joey, the main character's life. And so she reaches out to her to try to have a moment of camaraderie between the two of them, because Sylvie is a survivor of rape herself and has never come forward about it, did not go through the process that Joey goes through. And so Sylvie reaches out to her to tell her that she believes her, but also she wants to have another person in her life. So
she's feeling isolated as well.
Yeah, because she didn't tell anyone.
How did you two meet? How did you come together?
She babysat for yes. my mom's best friend's kids.
That's true. That's true. I babysat for everybody. I just want to say that. I was a nanny, you know, as I was building this company, and I feel like I babysat for all of Brooklyn.
How did you encounter the play?
So I saw the play when I was, I guess, a summer before my sophomore year.
Where did you see it?
I saw it the first time it ever was on. I saw it at the Fringe Festival.
What was your emotional reaction to it the first time you saw it?
I remember wanting to cry and not really knowing why, but I didn't. I didn't cry.
You resisted it.
Yeah. I remember wanting to, but not really knowing why I did.
You know what I noticed when I saw the play? Half the girls at the end of the play are in tears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Half of them, Katie. Is that a common thing?
Yeah. You mean the girls on the stage?
It takes an incredible...
Yes, it's exhausting.
And then I turned around, and the rest of us were in puddles.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love it when people cry.
these girls are going through it, right? I mean, what we tell them is that the way that it is going to most move the audience and most leave the audience changed is if they really go through something on stage. It's not their job to get up there and role play. It's their job to get up there and experience something in front of everybody, in front of everybody in that theater. And that's an incredibly hard thing to do. And it's emotionally draining for these girls. And so
it'll take me a minute sometimes.
Yeah.
A minute. I think half the audience was a basket case into the next day.
Right, you get good at it when you do it all the time. And especially if you're me, who's someone who I don't – it's not like this –
You have to go home and do homework.
Yeah, I have to go home and do homework. But also, it's not like the only time I ever deal with rape is when I'm in the show. Like, I'm kind of good at crying about it for a minute and then getting it together. You kind of have to be. That's how it goes.
Now, we find out because you were honest enough and brave enough to say so in the talkbacks afterwards, that the experience the character has where she goes to visit a college and at a party is assaulted, is raped, is similar to something that happened to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And tell me about what that was like the first time to get up on a stage with an audience filled with people, with strangers, and talk about this. Was it terrifying? Was it helpful? Was it something?
Oh, God,
both?
It was a lot of things. I have some similar experiences to my character, not the same story by any means, but that distance from me to Sylvie is what turns what you would assume to be a really hard thing to do, which is to get up on stage and talk about rape, into something that was actually not so hard because it wasn't me. I'm not me when I'm talking. I'm this other girl. I'm not telling my story. I'm telling hers. That part of it made it a lot easier and allowed me to accept my similarities to Sylvie and present them in a way that was ultimately very cathartic for me, but also maintain some distance and, you know, not, it's not.
So it's very different from, say, a therapeutic environment.
Yeah. It's different for me. I mean, I started doing the show in North Dakota. It was my first show.
You got to open somewhere.
Yeah, right. And I didn't know anyone from the entire state. So that's a very different thing to do. And probably the best way for me to start doing it was to be doing the show in front of people that I had never met and would never see again in my life. I got to be open and truthful about my life in North Dakota before I ever did it at home. And I came back the next week and I started to do it at home.
And I just have to say, North Dakota, after the workshop that we did, Mary did a really powerful storytelling. And then after the performance, there were teenage girls, like, in a line waiting to talk to Mary.
That's true.
Because so many girls out there who have had this happen to them, who have experienced sexual assault in whatever form, having no one to talk to about it.
I sort of met my Sylvie in a way.
Yeah,
in
you
North
did.
Dakota.
You did.
Yeah. After
that's amazing. What happened?
So we did this workshop, and I wrote this thing.
In addition to the play.
In addition to the play, we did a workshop, and I wrote down what had happened in my life. And I'd never written it before anywhere. I'd never really said it anywhere except for my therapist's office. Hmm. And, you know, I told it to everyone, including the cast. They didn't really know either. And afterwards, this girl came up to me and said, essentially, me too. And that had never happened to me before. I had no one. And all
you
of a sudden—
never told any friends or—
well, it's different. It is different to tell someone who you know knows what you're talking about. You don't even have to say it all. So I had that for the first time. But, yeah, no, and it happens pretty often after shows, too, where girls will come up to me.
That's a big responsibility for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it sometimes too much?
I definitely went through a phase where I was mad because I had never gotten to be that girl who had someone to go to. I had never gotten that.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I was landed in the other seat of having to be that person for someone else when I never got that. It was heavy.
Did you ever push it away and say, you know what, enough. I can't be that person for you all the time for a line of girls.
No.
You took it all on.
I did because I wanted them to have what I didn't get. I wanted that for them a lot. And the more I did it, the more I realized that actually it was serving a purpose for me too. And, I mean, it's a privilege now and one that I take really seriously and that I carry with me all the time. So I love those girls. I love them. Even when they don't say anything, even when they just don't know what to say and they hug me and they say, like, thank you. They don't have to say anything other than that.
Because you already know.
And I know. And they know.
Katie and Mary, thank you so much. And thank you for the gift of the play.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Mary Miller, a member of the cast, and Katie Capiello, Artistic Director of Arts Effect and Director of Slut the Play. On March 6th, the play will run in tandem with Now That We're Men, Capiello's play with a cast of teenage boys. There's some information about that at newyorkerradio.org.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.